Okay, let's as I said, crack this nut.
Yeah, let's crack a nut.
You know, you got a vibe on you today.
Thank
you. Got a fun vibe because you got the plaid.
I think it's
a Western shirt.
And a Western
And then you got the hat on.
Do you like it?
I think you got a fun, like, has anyone seen my my beach scooter?
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. I got a bike, but it's got those big fat boy tires on it. You know the fat tire bikes?
They're all
over the place.
I know. I don't really understand the difference between a fat and a skin.
All right.
Well, a fat tire bike.
Yes.
Can go over like mushier terrain easier.
Like so swampland.
Sure. Or like a sand or a pebbly beach. You can use a fat tired bike.
Pebble Beach?
That's interesting.
The golf course?
Yeah.
My new electric bike is like kind of, they're like pretty thick.
Yeah.
They're thicker than any bike I've ever had growing up.
They're curvy tires.
The other ones.
I love my curvy tired bike.
Thick, but THICC.
I think the other ones I've had were mountain bikes.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Yeah.
Previously.
Those were slightly thicker than, oh my God, you know the old 10-speed bikes that have that razor-thin tire?
That's Brad.
I was a poor kid growing up, so my first...
I don't like the razor-thin.
My first 10-speed bike was an old 10-speed that had like the curved handlebars and the razor thin wheel. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect for a fat boy going through puberty. This will be great.
Yes.
Right? And we were in the woods in the path, and there were like dips that you could go down on the bikes, and everybody's having fun. They're basically dirt vert ramps.
Yeah.
Or vert ramps.
Yes.
That combines vert and dirt.
Yeah.
Vert.
You have to see the spelling to get it.
Yeah, it's very funny.
V-I-R-T.
And I remember the other kids on their BMXs and their mountain bikes doing it.
Yeah.
And then me with this 1968 10-speed bike going to do that. And like
it's got a Barry Goldwater sticker on it.
Dude, the tire just digging into the mud. And I'm like, this sucks. This sucks.
Cut into it like a cake slicer. Yeah.
But then I got my Huffy and I was fucking gone.
Huffies
like
are toughy.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, we're podcasting.
How did that happen? What were we talking about?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable.
Fat tired bikes, they make the rockin' world go round. I'm Ray.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Chuck. I mean, we gotta acknowledge this bizarre surrounding.
We bought a community center.
We got into retirement homes.
This is tough. We decided to pool our money, and we thought we were doing a charitable thing by buying a community center, and we were going to build it up and let the kids have fun.
Yes.
You know, we were going to buy like a dozen fat tired bikes. We were going to.
That's why we're talking about it.
Fat tired is like. That's me, baby.
That'd be funny. That's a funny album name. And
Fat
it's,
Tired
and it's,
Ray?
And it's you looking at a bike with the big fat tire.
Sure. Yeah,
that is funny.
My wheelchair is going to have big fat tires on it. So we thought we bought the community center in a very like, look, LeBron James is paying for school, right?
Right.
And then the town came to us and said, you own the community center.
Right.
And you're in a lot of different coding and safety violations.
Yeah. Yes.
So all the money that we were going to donate ended up going to those things.
Yeah.
And now it's still a shitty community
it's
center.
Bad.
Yeah. Who knew that exposed pipes and wires weren't supposed to mix? Not me.
I thought that was the fun.
Yeah. I thought they
I
built
thought it was
character.
For kids. Yeah. Yeah. They get to try it. Baby's first electrical unit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I thought.
One kid goes, wow, right through the air.
Just like R2-D2.
I'm breaking off all the teeth from the fork, so it's just one, so it's easier to get that fork in there.
Right. I was breaking off all the teeth of one of the toddlers. And I was like, they're baby teeth. They're going to come
back. Let's get ahead of these.
Yeah, and I remember going, they're not permanent. And then somebody went, one of them is. And I went, uh-oh. Which one?
Ding, ding.
Good to go.
He knocks
he's,
on
yeah,
it.
He's got his little bottle opener. The weird thing is I bite the teeth to make sure they're real.
Yeah.
Like gold. So we're on a time crunch and what we're doing is wasting it.
So what's happening today is we love the Fun Bears. Let's kind of let this out of the bag. This is our year anniversary episode.
Is it?
This is our year anniversary.
Man.
Did you know that?
I knew and then I forgot.
Yeah.
It's been a very busy weekend.
We'll get into
why. But
it's our year anniversary. This is we started August 25th, 2022. And so now this is the last week of August 2023.
I know the word half-assed is known, but is there like a quarter-assed?
Yeah, like an eighth.
We're an A-Fast kind of
shenanigans.
But we got a real Mickey Mouse operation.
I thought
not even. We got Ricky Rouse.
I thought you were looking for the word slog. What a slog it's been.
Yeah.
No.
That was the brand name of my bike.
Oh, okay.
Huffy meets slog.
No, so
it's really hard to pedal.
So we've had a busy summer. Let's just kind of put that out there.
Yes.
And I'll say I expected to have more time in Rhode Island where I would podcast with Brad and Ray. But a big opportunity came up for us this summer. We really had to take it seriously, and that took over for over a month, I'd say.
As soon as we saw the community center was for sale.
No, a real thing. And then also...
Yeah, but sadly, we were cut by the New York Jets.
Yeah.
They said, you can't be three people playing one position at the same time.
I was like, but if we're on each other's shoulders, there's only 2 feet
we're
on
a very
the mound.
Tall, right. Wide receiver.
And then they were like, no, there is no mound.
It's football.
Right? Oh, and then I pointed to my crotch. I'm like, have you checked?
Yeah.
No, by the way, I'm so desperate to tell them what we've been up to all summer, but I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to, but I'm just saying, we did have a thing, but it took a lot of time.
It
took a lot of time. We are dedicated to staying on schedule or dedicated to really caring about the Fun Bears. We love the Fun Bearable listeners. It's very important to us. So today, what we did, because we're all in a time crunch, I thought I'd be back in Rhode Island this week, but I got hired to do something that's really important, so I have to stay around New York. So Ray was at Comics of Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing a headlining weekend.
I still am.
Yeah, he's doing a headlining weekend. He's in the middle. And I said, well, maybe we could find, just independently of that, a place that's halfway in between Rhode Island and New York we could come to. And since Ray is at Comics of Mohegan Sun, he's even closer to that place. So I said, let's just get together. Let's try to figure it out. Brad figured it out. He got us a room at the New Haven Public Library.
One of the six branches.
So Brad drove 2 hours. I drove 2 hours. Ray drove a little over an hour from where
he
is.
And I did offer to get a conference room or something at the hotel because it's a nice hotel. And then Brad was like, I got a room at the library in New Haven. I went, okay. Now, when I heard library, I was picturing leather-bound books, gold, gilded lettering, oak chests and shelves with ladders that go up them, and big leather chairs that we sit in, armchairs.
I tried to get the Yale Law Library, which I presume is like what you were expecting.
Yeah.
Could not get it. They said, just do the podcast in your own community
center. I did see it, and they said, would you like the Benjamin Franklin room or the Ron DeSantis room? And Brad said, let's go RD. Yeah.
The Benjamin
Franklin... Same as my vote, baby!
The Benjamin Franklin room was $10, so
this was
free.
No, and to be real, Mohegan Sun, you're kind of like, well, it's all in Connecticut. Mohegan Sun is 3 hours and 10 minutes from my apartment in Staten Island.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And my home in Rhode Island is 3 hours and 30 minutes from the thing. So it's like, let's make it a halfway thing.
That makes
more sense.
Yeah. No, I understand.
So we're halfway in between. We're doing it for you. And because it's our year anniversary, we actually did have an idea for an anniversary live show,
which I'm
hoping we do next year.
Yeah.
It's a very fun idea.
And I think we wait. Just like with a baby announcement, you don't do it too soon
because
that baby might not make it. And so celebrating the 1 year anniversary is like, a lot of people make it to a year.
And plus,
not a lot of people make it to two.
Right. Brad's not even showing yet.
That's true. I'll say for our 2 year anniversary, I'm going to tease it. I'm sorry. I don't want to give it away too much. But if you've read Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, you know what's coming up for our 2 year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. It's a joke for very few people.
Oh, I know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And me too.
I got a White Rock.
You know what? Jackson. I also got a White Rock.
Huh.
Interesting.
I bet I know what color your rock is.
So,
by the way, when he said what, Shirley Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Shirley Jackson's The Lottery.
Yeah.
Did you immediately think of Charlotte's Web?
I thought of Victoria Jackson from SNL, and I was like, this is weird.
I wish she would join a lottery. Yeah.
So, today, it's our year anniversary.
Yeah.
We're keeping it small, but we're keeping it about the Fun Bears.
Yes.
Family.
We're continuing to work on our mail sacks and get through and make sure that we answer people who have, we're going to reach into our mail sacks.
Absolutely. And real quick, I do want to say, because I'm in the middle of the weekend that I'm headlining at Comics.
Yeah.
And then next week I'm in Vermont at the Vermont Comedy Club, which I love. I love that club.
Yeah.
Maple. That's what it's called. The Maple House.
This is my second coffee of today. Mm-hmm. First one, cold brew with maple.
There you go.
Serum.
Serum?
Puh.
Serum.
I'll say one of the emails in the mail sack is about the pronunciation of syrup versus syrup.
Oh, good. I hope we finally nailed this down.
Yep.
But just a quick shout out to comics at Mohegan Sun, because the weekend has been so fun. And a lot of times casinos can be not a treat to perform in, right? But comics is, you know, it's a real comedy club that's in this casino. And I really appreciate it. And they've been very kind and welcoming. Thank you very much, comics. Go, if you're in the area, go see comedy shows there. They're a good time. That's it.
Agreed.
And Vermont Comedy Club, I can't wait to be there. It's truly a wonderful place to perform.
Nice.
That was all I wanted to say. I have an update real quick.
Ooh. Yeah.
Since we're doing sacks of mail.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a Facebook message sack.
That counts. Your Facebook sack.
That pouch.
Your face sack.
My face pouch. It's an update on a story that I told a little while ago about a roid-raged man.
Yes.
Remember the roid-rage guy in college, and we took his car
apart?
Yeah,
he pissed in his cars and all that stuff.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Great Poupon, yeah.
Yeah, we took his car door and brought it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
We maybe brought that in. But this is from one of my friends from college who is a fun bear, listens to the show.
Thank you.
And took part in the demolition, or?
No, did not take part.
Because we don't know if there was a demolition. It was
right.
Just maybe.
It's maybe.
Maybe if it happened, he wasn't there.
Okay.
This is from Will. Thank you, Will, for being a fun bear. And he wrote, "Hey, man, I was just listening to your most recent podcast, and I got to tell you, I got a haircut from Roid Rage Guy in the hallway of the dorm, and I think he ended up not charging me because he was having a fight with his girlfriend, possibly on the phone, but also definitely she was outside the dorms. And he kept stopping the haircut to yell at his girlfriend from the hallway window. And they were yelling at each other like crazy loud, saying crazy things. At the end of the haircut, he ended up throwing his clippers out the window in her general direction. My hair was in the hallway. I think he may have picked it up that time, though. LOL. I'm not sure about that part, though. And yeah, that guy was super jacked. LOL, your story about him totally made me instantly remember that." So
that's fun.
That's just great. Like
a
nice
slice of life for him.
Yeah.
Just a random day in this guy's life.
Huh. Oh, yeah. I remember when that severely demented man was cutting my hair. And Will, I got to tell you, that's a bold choice. I think that's only a college freshman choice to go, "Oh, hey, that guy over there that's clearly roided up, I want him to cut my hair."
Yeah.
You
know? Let's
put some buzzing
sharp
blades in his hands.
Yeah. He was so, like, that. I think that tells you everything about that guy, right? Like, let me be a self-starter and cut people's hair in school.
Right.
I'm mad at my girlfriend. There goes my one tool I need.
Yeah.
And he just hurled it out the window.
That's a weird thing to hurl, too.
Yeah, my clippers.
I haven't done a lot of hurling at people.
Yeah.
But I think clippers is low on the list of hurls.
Yeah.
Right?
Staplers, top of the list, right?
Oh, Brad has...
Stapler's good.
Brad injured his secretary by throwing a stapler at her.
Oh,
I always
Brad.
Tell people that.
I know you do. It's a lie every time.
Did you staple her?
I've thrown staplers when I worked at UMass. I threw staplers multiple times, and then
I just pictured you with a holster full of staplers.
It's
like a leather holster with a bunch of staplers.
It's like the bus driver with change, except staplers, and I'm just whizzing them.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
For Christmas one year, I got him a stapler dartboard. Just to practice his aim.
Didn't make it to the New Year's. No, I probably threw and broke three staplers over a couple years, and then went out and bought my own, like bright
rubber
purple
stapler.
Bright purple.
You bought a rubber stapler and a helmet for your secretary.
I bought a bright purple one so that I would look at it and say, "Oh, that's, first of all, I paid for that with my own money.
That's money. Yeah.
And secondly, like, it's stupid to throw a stapler. Never threw a stapler again.
That's good.
I did. Because
you would look at your Grimace brand stapler.
Yes.
And he'd look at the staples in his secretary's head. Because the sun would shine off them at one point in the day.
Yeah, a lot of people thought she was culturally appropriating. They thought she had cornrows. Oh. Turns out it was staples.
Just really accurate stapling.
Yeah.
Let's get into this mail sack.
Let's crack into the sack. Let's crack the sack.
Yeah,
ooh,
crack that
ooh,
sack.
Ooh, TM. We got to put a TM. Who's editing this episode?
Craigless.
Craig, do us a favor. That's our new catchphrase.
No.
We're going to crack the sack. And so I want, like, cool lettering.
Yeah, crack.
Real cool lettering.
I think crack that sack.
Crack that sack. Sack. Yeah, the audience is cheering. R.I.P. Bob Barker, by the way. Sorry about that. Oh, we just
Bob
found
Barker,
out.
Terry Funk, Bray Wyatt. A lot of people died this week. Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt are wrestlers.
And they died in a murder-suicide pact?
Well, I have a pretty offensive text chain going on with my buddy about how Terry Funk died.
Okay.
I can't put it on the podcast.
And I had a really great joke because you told me Bob Barker died, and you said, oh, he died at 99.
Yeah.
And then immediately, before the last nine was out of your mouth, I went, oh, so close to that dollar. And then nobody responded, and I was so I upset
that. It
by
took
that.
Me a minute to get it, but I acknowledge it as incredibly clever.
Thank you. Ready, Craig? Here we go. Hey, everybody. Let's... crack that sack! Applause.
Do you care if I go try to fiddle with the air conditioning, or are you pro?
I'm pro air conditioning.
Yeah,
it's hot.
It.
All right, so I will read this as Chuck fiddles.
Ooh, how many times has that been said?
Too many. This is from Jack from December 2nd, 2022.
We are on top of things.
Subject line, episode number 16. Chuck, I'm so sorry for how long this is. I want you to know that you're not alone in feeling the way that you do. This is after the first vulnerable episode.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I feel that way almost every day of my life, and it feels nice to know that I'm not alone. So thank you for sharing and being vulnerable in this episode. I literally just had a similar thing happen with a girl I met on Bumble. Things were going great. We made plans for a date, and I didn't hear anything for 2 days. We tried again. Same thing. I then gave up, and she messaged me a month or so later, and I got my hopes up, and then it happened a third time. I've now blocked her number.
Yeah, three strikes and you're out.
So Jack has more self-respect than I do.
Also, though, this is almost a year ago, so maybe they got together. Maybe they're married.
As for the feeling that everyone hates you, that's how I feel almost every day. I feel like I'm forcing myself into social situations with people and that no one actually wants me there. I know that's not true, but it doesn't change how it feels in my head. And with people who were friends not reaching out, that's almost all of my friends. I don't hear from anyone from back home or Austin. I now live in Utah for work. I get that everyone has their own lives, but I always feel like I'm the one who reaches out first. Anyway, sorry again for the ramble. I just wanted you to know that you're not alone and to thank you for letting me know that I'm not alone. Always happy to be fun bearable, Jack. P.S. If you ever decide to go the Mormon route and marry a bunch of women, like Brad mentioned, I know some of the cool non-Mormon places to visit here in Utah. P.S.S. Also, if you ever want to share this email on the pod, you can feel free to do so and to use my name, but that's not why I'm sending it. I just wanted to make sure you don't feel like you're alone in this. P.S.S.S. Brad and Ray, I'm glad Chuck has friends like you around to help him when he's feeling down.
Wow. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate
that. I also exist for other reasons.
Well, that's his main function.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, I don't know either.
That is a tough thing. And like that message was making me think about something I was just reading about. We talked about this on the phone recently. Mm. There's a sad thing that seems to be happening that is like occurring more and more for young men. Feeling incredibly isolated. Now, I'm not going down like the right-wing path of being like men's rights and men are sad, but there is a very lonely thing happening, and I think it's kind of clashing with a lot of different things. I think, you know, internet stuff and all those things happening.
Yeah.
And I do think it's tough too, because once you get out of, we've talked about this, once you get out of college or whatever you're doing, when you get a little older and people start, you know, getting married, having kids, things like that, lives, the wider path of life tends to narrow.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a natural thing that happens, but it can be difficult if your path isn't lining up with that. Right.
Right.
I think in general, it doesn't even matter. Like, one of the things that I think has actually been tough for me is taking creativity so seriously.
Yeah.
I think
that
was a thing that kind of put me on a different path than a lot of people that I had a lot in common with for a long time. But you're right. But there's like a bunch of things that happen with that, whether it's people moving away for jobs or moving somewhere else to follow whatever, or getting married or having families or being just doing something that takes over their life in a different way. You know, I know some people who are just like chefs and they're just like, I don't have a life. I just kind of do this.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And we talked about the idea that like, I think that over the years, like internet culture and smartphone culture and stuff like that, started making people go out less and go engage with the world less.
Absolutely.
And then COVID put that on a fast track to like...
We also lost the places. There's a phrase...
That's true.
Third place. A third place, right? Like most people, city planning and talking about things that way, third places come up a lot where, you know, home and work are your first and second place. Where's that third place that you always go?
I like
that.
Chuck's house.
Yeah.
But, you know, it used to be, you know, a lot of people would, a third place could be a bar, you know, in a Cheers kind of way.
Yeah.
Third places were often like a cafe or that restaurant you always went to in town. Right. Just places that you always went to. And that's where those third places are often where you would meet people.
Right. Right.
And now that just doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Like Starbucks becoming what it is. And wiping out a lot of smaller independent coffee shops that were third places.
Yeah.
Like, I think Starbucks kind of offhandedly kind of offers up like that one like couch area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That people kind of gravitate towards. But I don't think I've ever been in a Starbucks and said, like, oh, yeah, I want to spend a couple hours here.
It's rare. It's definitely rare to find one like that.
And there are other coffee shops. I remember living in Dover before I went to college. There was an independent coffee shop, like a couple of blocks from our apartment. And we would walk over there, and the place is just like, here's 50 different little gathering spot pods that you guys can have fun and enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, I know,
And that was our third place.
Yeah.
And it's tough because once you lose that, you lose places to meet people, right?
Right. Yeah, I think one of the things I'm really trying to accept and make a part of my life is like I decided to focus on career around fall of 2021, right? Is that when I moved to New York? I really focus on career, and I'm at the point now where like I'm making more money than I need. I think I've moved up and gotten more professional gigs faster than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I really need to focus on is finding community, because that's what I feel like I'm missing in my life right
now.
That is
causing
a lot of this stuff. Dating has been fine for a long time, but the community aspect of my life is something I really, really miss, and I'm trying to figure out how to manage that.
And that's why we bought a community center.
I was sitting on it, and I'm like, I don't want to step on Chuck's sincere thing.
I was waiting, and I even had to just talk over the last word that you were saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I feel that too, like in comedy. I've talked about this with other comedians that I'm close with. It's a real struggle because when you're early on in your comedy, stand-up comedy career, there is a big community. It's everybody around you in a scene, quote-unquote, whatever town you're in, whatever city you might be in. And there was a real scene happening that felt really good. And even nationally, people would come in and see this and comment on it and know what it was. And, like, you know... Brian Bowden and Derek Furtado and myself and a few other comics like John Porch and you know a couple others, we were doing this hardcore show. It was a late night Friday show at the Comedy Connection. We were all at a point in our careers where saying we will be at that show every Friday night was easy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, oh, I'll be gone once in a while doing a weekend somewhere.
Right, right, right.
But we got to a point in our careers where we were working outside of the state often.
Right.
And it was like, this is too hard to do this. We retired the show and no one kind of swooped in to like take that over. And the community part fell away.
Yeah.
And it was so sad to see that. And also I think it's a natural evolution in stand-up when you're starting and you have that community, you're going to this open mic every week and you have that show you do every week and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Once you start working more, it's like, well, I don't have time to go to this open mic every week anymore because I work, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever it is, or whatever time I have. Then I have my family and I do that stuff.
Yeah.
I do this podcast. We do other things. I have to do this thing over here. And it just, it's a different world. And I think as you grow in stand-up, the community does get smaller.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking bummer. It's depressing. It feels lonely.
It is. It's tough to, I mean, what were you going to say,
Ryan? Similar things where through improv, where it's team dynamics, I'm at the theater and I'm coaching and teaching, and I'm also older than a lot of the performers. And so they're like, yeah, let's go out after the show. And I'm like, I'm going to bed. Like, or they're getting together to do things and I don't get invited or whatever, because there's the perceived distance between like, oh, he's a coach, he's a teacher. And so I'm not doing as much with people from improv. And then similarly with church, which was my third place for a long time, a lot of the people I was incredibly close with have moved away. Vancouver, California, Pennsylvania, New York, whatever. And I'm like, the idea of reloading a friend group feels exhausting.
Yeah, that's really
for
tough.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very tough to kind of figure out the community aspect and try to... It sucks because I think a lot of it that you don't realize until you get older was proximity and similar interests and the way you spend your time.
I think you just kind of fall
into it without really planning.
I look back, granted, like I'm married with a child.
Really?
Not married to a child. I'm married, comma, with a child.
Got it. That comma is important.
I look at the time I had in a given day. Yep. You know what I mean? And just even when I was, you know, a full-time comic, but it was just like, yeah, I can stay up till 5 a.m. That's fine. And I'll just hang out with these people and it'll be a good ass time.
Yeah.
But I'm at a place now where I'm like, I'm tired and I want to go home.
Yep.
And, you know, and I want to spend time with friends. When I can carve that time out, I treat it very carefully, you know, but it's tough. It's a weird thing. It sucks.
It's tough.
Yeah. Part of it is culture shift. Part of it is aging. Part of it is career choice. There's so many moving parts to it, you know?
I can't tell you how often I'm just like, man, like, I'm doing so much work to build my career over the past, let's call it 2 years or whatever. And I feel like I'm like, man, so many nights I could have chosen to reach out to someone I met or reach out to someone I know and do stuff.
Yep.
But it's been really tough to do that while trying to hit all these deadlines
and
cover all these bases and do all this stuff. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of aspects to it. And it's tough because you want to build your career. You feel like you got to do it at the right time. And I feel like I've been really focusing on that for a while. But I'm trying to figure out if there are days where I should say, I need to just accept this opportunity for community time and put the work a little bit to the side. And I think I need to start doing that because
balance is tough.
Yeah, it's very hard.
I think the real question is, why are we so far behind on our mail sacks?
I think we need to carve out time for the mail sack. Yeah, absolutely.
I will say Ray's in the best position because...
What?
Yeah, because you have a wife, Kalina. You can share a lot of interests with her. You watch TV, movies. You talk about music.
You mean on my own thing?
And your own
I thought
community
you meant
thing.
For time. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? I got mad when you said that. Like, time?
But you no, live with someone who's essentially like your best friend.
Yes.
And then if you do want to talk... if you do want to talk about like cooler stuff that maybe like babes... Action movies, Die Hard 3, you got Finn.
Yeah. I like watching Die Hard 3 with my son and going, oh, wait. This sandwich board bit is fucking killer. You're going to love this
and
part.
Babes.
And then he looks at me and goes, what's up? And I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Shut up. Anyway,
too.
Back to the babes. Finn, are you a leg man or a tit man? What are you doing? What are you going? You ass guy? You into that thick ass?
That's pretty
right?
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I remember I was tucking my 9-year-old son into bed the other day, and I said, would you eat ass? And then we talked about that for a while. And
don't do it in a hot tub.
We were trying to figure out, like, I was like, what would you probably want to eat the ass with?
Right.
You know, like prison style. And I had to explain what prison style was. And
I prefer, sir.
You know what he went with?
What?
Dunkaroos. And he said, because it's all in the name, baby. Yeah. And I went, wow. And he did a click. He went, hey, like that. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Yeah.
And then I woke him up. 9-year-old.
I woke him up and I said, but what about you? What would you have your ass? Hey. Would you get your ass?
I do hate this.
And he thought about it. And he said, well, it depends on who it is. And I said, well, why? What do you think? And he goes, I think generally no. But if it was Santa or the Tooth Fairy, you gotta let him eat your ass.
And then you said,
Santa wants to eat your ass, you let him eat your ass. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Nope.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm good.
I'm just too into the idea of Santa eating ass now.
But yeah, no, I was just joking. But
join me on my spinoff podcast where we talk about Santa eating ass.
So thank you, Jack.
I appreciate that. Sorry you're going through it. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Boys.
Would you let Santa eat your ass, Jack?
All right. December 3rd, 2022, subject line, awkward weddings, from Corey. I told part of this story to Chuck after a friend of mine told me my nosebleed was due to an increase of 5G, but I digress.
No. His friend told him that his nosebleeds were because of the increase in 5G.
Oh, God.
Our buddy Corey, he's a great guy.
Yeah, Corey's great.
The most recent wedding I was dragged to was the worst. We get to the venue late, and Emily isn't seeing anybody she knows. I'm looking around and see a wedding party in the distance. All black people. Now, I want nothing more than to attend as many black weddings as possible, but this just wasn't it. We start walking to where another wedding had just taken place, our wedding, when I see my black friend, Mike.
There
he wasn't
go.
Part of the other wedding and not a huge part of the story, but he does lip injections and fake tits if anyone needs his services. Weird advertisement, Corey.
No,
so we find
lips.
A bunch of
this
Emily's
all over
nurse friends.
I like Corey, but what the fuck's going on? Already we're in a territory where I'm like, yep. all weddings matter.
No. What? Other way. You're bad. You don't want to do all.
Why am I bad?
You got to do the other way.
I don't want to do
all's
the other
bad.
Way.
All is bad.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, all's bad.
Oh, yeah, in that scenario, yeah. Shit.
I keep going, Brad.
So we find a bunch of Emily's nurse friends, and my nose starts bleeding like crazy.
5G.
I go to the restroom and start cleaning up. At this point, I'm a fucking mess. I'm covered in blood, and I'm totally freaked out over this. The nurses go inside, and Emily starts to comfort me. She's 8 months pregnant at this point, and I swear the fucking kid kicked me in the eye. I go back to the bathroom to wash my hands, and I fucking passed out like Tony Soprano.
Wow.
I landed so hard, Emily heard it from outside. What a disaster. The only thing worse than shitty weddings are nosebleeds and panic attacks. Then I tell a buddy later in the week, and he tells me I passed out from the new 5G network. Next time, I'm staying at the black wedding. Fuck the bullshit.
I like the friend is just a terrible doctor with one prescription.
I hope it's the one that does the lip injections. Yeah.
Your lips are so thin because of that goddamn 5G.
No, I already read on the show.
Would you go to a doctor that was a great doctor, great bedside manner, gives you all the pills you want? This is for me and Ray. And he's just nice to you whenever you have to change. But then one day you go there, uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, you might be, you're like, oh, I got a nosebleed last week. Yes, yeah, it might be 5G in the air. Would you stop going to see the doctor? Mm. And it's a great doctor. You have a great relationship.
I'll be honest with you. My own insecurity and like my own like Curb Your Enthusiasm-esque need to not be rude.
Yes.
I'm going to that doctor probably 4 more times. Yes. And each time I come home, I'm telling Kalina, like, this fucking guy. You know, by the third time, I'm like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, he won't shut up about the 5G. I got to get a new doctor. And then I still go back to him. I think when I stop is 2 times after I say to my wife, I'm never going back to him.
Nice.
Then I go 2 more times. And then he moves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I get a new doctor.
I think what I do, if I'm really comfortable with him,
yeah.
I go home and I start trying to convince myself that 5G causes nosebleeds. I don't want to leave. I want to keep it.
I think I secretly leave a cell phone every time. Open and like downloading something on 5G. Just so I can go back and go, any headaches recently or anything?
You know what? Put a 5G phone here, 4G phone here.
Ah, see which way. Oh, then you come back and he's like leaning to a side because the tumor that grew on one side of his head.
Blood's pouring out of this nostril. Nothing over here. You're like, all right.
This checks out.
Yep.
Holy shit.
What do you got, Brad?
It's from Hector. It's from December 5th. Subject, Christmas poster. Hey guys, thanks for the stickers and coupon from a Christmas show. They're awesome. Hope Thanksgiving went well for you and you're enjoying the Christmas holidays.
We are
so far.
Shit.
Just wanted to show you guys.
Oh, this is a Christmas one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you let Santa eat your ass?
Just wanted to show you guys some love and show a poster I got from a local art event they have here on First Fridays and other random Saturdays. Figure you all would like it. I got it back in May, but I do plan on going again this year for more Christmas presents. If I find another one, I will get it to send you all. And it's stylized Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber with How Hans Gruber Stole Christmas.
Oh, that's cool. We'll put a graphic up.
Yeah.
A question I don't know if you all have offered your thoughts on, Clerks 3, as I am not caught up on all the podcasts, but I did want to hear your thoughts on it. Kevin Smith came down here for a showing and a meet and greet, and I can say that he's a very nice guy, and it was great to meet him in person for a pic and autograph. Then Hector included a dog and cat photo.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I went to the premiere of Clerks 3 in Red Bank.
Yeah.
And that night was really fun. The crowd was like, it was the perfect crowd to see it with.
Yeah.
Brian O'Halloran was there. Marilyn Gigliotti was there. I know both of them. I know Kevin. And Brian came out on stage after the movie, and he got like this huge standing ovation, and he kind of cried a little bit.
Oh, that's
bit
great.
On stage.
That's
so
really
it was
good.
A very
that's
beautiful
really
night. I loved a bunch of things in Clerks 3. I think that, you know, it's funny, some independent films, and I'm sure you guys have seen examples of this, it feels a little bit like a character is really so tied to the actor that plays them.
Yeah.
That I think Jeff Anderson, he doesn't act in other things really.
Yeah.
And he only plays Randall. And it's always fun to see him back in that role.
Of course.
There's a bunch of lines in that movie that are really funny. I liked a bunch of stuff in it. I do, when the big ending happens, they kind of personify it with Dante in a movie theater with Rosario Dawson. I think that was done really, really well.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that I really enjoyed in Clerks 3 that I thought was fun to see.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, personally, I think O'Halloran, I said this to him when we did the show in Jersey. I said, like, his performance, I thought, was really great.
Yes.
Because I think it's not a surprise that, like, Clerks 2, Clerks 3, you know, those two actors carrying those movies, Dante and Randall, like you said, like, he's, I'm sorry, what was his name again? I blanked.
Jeff Anderson.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
He's always just Randall.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, that's all he really does for performance that way. O'Halloran was kind of cutting his teeth in Clerks, and... So, like, the performances were never, like, you know, they're not, like, world-ending performances.
Right,
right.
But I was really, really impressed with O'Halloran carrying such a dramatic weight through that movie.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that to him, and it was really nice. You know, also met Kevin that night or the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
Wonderful, you know, gave me a hug, nice fella. I don't like it. I just want to be honest because I feel like it would be disingenuous for me, having met Kevin and he's wonderful. You work with a bunch of the people.
Yeah.
You know, worked with Brian on the show and he's so nice. The story was a bummer to me and that's it. And I understand that Kevin is like working through stuff with that script and I get it. It would just be unfair for me to lie and say I loved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It bummed me out, and I think that story, to me, there's nothing wrong with the story. I think it's a good story. I just don't think it's a good story for Dante and Randall to be having. I think that's a good story for two other characters to have, because there's a part of me that's like, come on, man, I followed these guys. I followed these guys through these two other movies.
Yeah.
And now you're giving me this. It was such a bummer. And Dante, his whole life in 3 is suffer, 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 escape suffering by death. And it's just like, woo! You know what I mean? And so it's a bummer. Listen, I'm sorry. We'll cut all of this out. I just feel like I'm supposed to toe the line and I'm not doing it. And Askew's going to beat me up or something. The Askewniverse is going to kill me. You're so uncomfortable right now, I can tell.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're clenching up tight. Santa's tongue trapped in there.
You can be honest, as honest as you want. How are you, Brad?
I thought O'Halloran was great.
He's great, yeah. Well, we had fun. We went to another screening of Crooks 3 in Rhode Island. We talked to Kevin. He talked to us.
I was on call for work, and I got called out once during the movie for about half an hour. I missed the middle third of the movie. And then once...
That's the fun and games.
Yeah, I missed the fun and games. Yeah. And then once in the Q&A to deal with situations that did not need to be escalated to my level.
That's fair. To be clear, and like so, I said...
Part of his quitting, maybe.
I like the story. Not for Dante and Randall. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, you said you liked... what else?
I thought the script could have used some punch-ups, and I feel bad. Kevin Smith, accomplished
writer.
I know.
It's a tough thing. But I think it's okay to say, like...
Yeah.
I think it would be silly for us to just be like, we like it because we know people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's disingenuous
to the Bears of fun.
As a whole, we've expressed a lot of opinions.
Exactly.
And a lot of them are true.
Yeah, but I want to hear the rest of Brad's opinion.
That's kind of it. It's I thought it was good. I like the idea of it ends this trilogy because you know, when was it Strike Back ended?
Mm-hmm.
Then they closed the book, like the bookmark was in the middle of the book.
Yes.
And to me, this is like the end of the book.
Yeah.
For this universe. But like they still want to make Mallrats 2.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I thought it was like too meta in parts. And I thought they had the character like Trevor, they had him like praying in the hospital and then his prayer was answered. And he's like, you didn't answer my prayer. And I'm like, no, like that was... That was the exact opposite of what happened. And I understand, like, him being in all the Satanist costumes was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was a great running gag throughout the show, throughout the movie. I loved it. But I'm like, but it didn't make sense, just script-wise, for it to happen the way it did.
I hear you.
So yeah. That was it. But
And I love the open with the My Chemical Romance thing.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough thing because there's,
I know.
You know, you get into this stuff that is such a personal project,
right?
Yes.
From Kevin.
Yep.
Yes.
It's tough to it's also tough knowing that's a hard one to separate the art and the artist,
right?
Where you know what his own personal life has been with a heart attack and going through that stuff,
right?
So it's hard to remove from the script, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff like that. I think that's right. That's quality, right?
Do we have one more email in us? I don't know how we're doing on
time. We have, depending on how long these
it's
emails are,
it's a lengthy email.
We got two or three maybe.
All right.
We're only at we're at 4150.
All right, good.
Yeah.
This is from Adam from January 23rd. Subject line:
Happy New Year.
We're getting there. By the way, we're going to be better going forward, right? I think we should
I think we're going to say we're going to be better going forward.
We aim to improve.
There you go. That's all you have to do. Subject line: Fun Bammies, which were our favorite things of 2022. Hey there, boys. I was delighted to see that the year-end tradition has continued. I think this may be my favorite special episode of the year. I love that year-in-review type stuff, and it's interesting to hear what your years have been like from many aspects and makes me reflect on what my year has been like. I do think that you guys should probably publish your list somewhere, though.
That's valid.
I think that's good.
Rolling Stone, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Esquire.
We're going to carve it in stone on Mount
Women's
Sinai.
World.
I'm so happy that Brad finally made the leap to leave his job. I wish nothing but success because you deserve it, Brad. I feel like he doesn't get the recognition he deserves for how funny he is because his humor is often so subdued and dry, but I think that's what part of what makes it so great. Also, I think he likes the Shirley Jackson references.
I think we often tell Brad how funny and worthy he is. You
absolutely
know what I mean?
Anyway, long way to say I'm sure
see,
you'll be able
reaction
to
he's
succeed
like, shut up, fuck you.
At any number of things you decide to pursue. That has not proven true so far. And I do relate to your situation. I've worked at the same place for 13 years. I don't hate it, but I do feel like my time there is coming to an end, and it's incredibly stressful to think about leaving, but you taking a leap does make me feel better about the idea. Thanks for sharing about that.
Mm.
Nice.
I also have some general thoughts. I kept meaning to write in, but would forget to do it, and then it seemed like it would all be out of date. Anyway, I've really been enjoying the show. I think what I loved about the Chuck and Brad podcast was that it was a lot of just life updates and general chat, so I'm glad that has stayed as part of Fun Bearable. The other more structured stuff is great too, but when you get a good old just shooting the shit, that's the stuff. Hook it directly to my veins. And on that topic, Ray, you don't have to apologize for going off on tangents. The tangents are great. Anytime you mention something about who is still listening to this, I am. I am listening to the shit out of it. Give me minutia. I will admit, I was one of the people who was apprehensive about the merging of your two shows. Not that I had anything against Ray. I always enjoyed him as a guest on Chuck and Brad, but it's just the idea of change when the thing that is changing is something you like a lot in its current form. And I think what I was worried about was losing that more serious personal side that I mentioned earlier. I don't think it lost that. I think you guys just added more to the other stuff, which is a good way to do it. But Ray, I appreciate you talking about being self-conscious about some negativity around you joining up with Chuck and Brad. I don't know if this is just the perception on my end because I was a Chuck and Brad listener for several years and that their show was around for quite a long time, but it did sort of seem more like you joining Chuck and Brad than them joining you or a third thing coming into existence, and I think that may be where the feeling you got is coming from. But you're doing a great job, and it's been a really fun dynamic with the three of you. If I had one piece of advice, though, it's to take a fucking nap before you record. I feel like after about 30 minutes in, you start talking about losing your mind because you're tired. Get it together.
Hey.
I'm just kidding, but get more sleep. Chuck is fine too. Love you guys. Adam.
Oh, thank you, Adam. And
thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
Very kind.
Chuck responded, very nice. Even if I'm left out, you POS.
I think it's funny that like the idea of I am, people often joke about me.
Being
like,
perpetually tired?
Yeah, just talking about how tired I am all the time.
Yeah.
But like earlier in this episode, we were talking about like time and how you split it up and everything. And it is tough where it's like, we're all busy people.
Yes.
But it's hard coming to the table and being the only parent at the table, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Often the parent of the table. but it is tough because there's a lot of times where I'm just like, I'm fucking tired, man. You know what I mean?
We're going to call DC.
He's emotionally abusive.
CPS, yeah, get him in here. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I, you know what? Speaking of naps, I can't take a nap. I'm
no
a
nap?
Bad napper.
I'm a bad napper, too.
I'm a bad napper.
I'm a good napper.
Chuck's
now
an amazing
now
napper.
Now I'm a
kid napper. But no, I can't. There's something about it. Like the idea of laying down. First off, my anxieties with death, my perpetual, yes. You know, existential dread that I have and fearing death. I have insomnia. And part of it is, I think deep down, there's a subconscious thing of like, but
this might be
falling
the
asleep is a little death.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not a small death like an orgasm.
Yeah,
but
yeah, right.
It
not a petite mort.
You're giving up.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. You're giving into the darkness in some way. And it bums me out because like I see people that can nap and I'm like, what the fuck? And comedians often are good nappers. They'll be like I'll be working with somebody and they're like, oh, I'm going to take a quick nap before the show. I'm like, what? No. You go, you do the show so exhausted. Then you go and sleep. You can only sleep when the job is done.
Yes.
You can't sleep with something you have to do later.
Yep.
That's crazy, right? So that's how I feel. I'm a bad napper. You can't nap either?
Chuck is an extraordinary napper.
What do you mean by that?
Chuck will get home at 7 o'clock, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go home. And Chuck's like, yeah. I laid down I slept for 20 minutes, and then I got up and went back to work. And I'm like, oh, if I lay down... Yeah. Yeah. I'm staying down.
No, what happens to me a lot, and this is, when you do a lot of filmmaking for a living or even a lot of like editing and stuff like that, sometimes you got to do the thing where you say, it's 5 a.m., I have this much more on this, it's got to be done by this time tomorrow, and you go to bed for 2 hours. And you wake up and you do it, you know. And I think so that kind of like...
Yeah, that's a different one. And also it's so screen-based and looking at it. I think sometimes you just have to stop looking at
that's,
a screen.
So that happens to me, and so I get used to that.
And I think also, like my former job, I was dealing with people. I could not take a break from work to nap.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so I was going to say, like Monday, I have to film with Mark and Joe, Tuesdays with Stories, in Midtown Manhattan. I probably have to get up at like 7:45.
Mark Paul Gosselaar and Joe Pesci?
And I
would love that podcast.
Hell yeah. Joe Pesci as Screech.
So I probably have to get up around...
I want to see an episode real quick. I want to see one episode of Saved by the Bell where everybody is young and what they were in the 80s and 90s. And then Joe Pesci... with a wig, doing all the screech parts.
Yeah.
Put him in with CGI. If you can take Chris D'Elia out of that zombie movie and put Tig Notaro in, you can put Joe Pesci in instead of Screech. That's amazing. I love that.
Man, that's an interesting...
You think Kelly would let me finger her?
I don't remember Screech being that.
Oh, yeah.
Frank.
Yeah.
But,
oh, wait, no, not Kelly. Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, what's that Lisa up to?
Right? Yeah. So... So,
Bricka fricka racka fricka racka fricka fricka. I want to figure that turtle.
Oh my god! So I have to get up at like 7:45 on Monday.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna drive into the city and park and work, and I'll probably get home around like 3. But I want to work that night,
right?
So I probably will take an hour of nap, and then I'll work for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
But it's because my work is so like weird that I think I've had to get used to it. But it is it's tough. It's a
napping's weird.
I think if I'm going to take a 40-minute nap, I need to set aside 2.5 hours.
Right. Like to
like fall asleep in the middle of the day.
And you know what? Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, just to be completely clear, sometimes my nap is really me laying down in the dark, closing my eyes, and kind of drifting.
Masturbating, right?
It's not. Sometimes it's not full sleep.
You call it a nap,
but it's like
there is a little death involved.
Yeah. It's all honk shoe, honk shoe.
No, but it's like an hour of me laying down in the dark and really resting, even if I don't go fully asleep. Sure. That's to me the nap.
It's
as well.
Tough. It is. It is tough. I think I have been in my like little side office.
Yeah.
And it's it's morning, and let's say I got shitty sleep the night before, insomnia kicked in, I had to break down and take NyQuil at like 5 a.m. to finally get sleep.
Yeah.
And now it's like 11, I've been up, I had breakfast, I'm sipping a coffee. I can pass out in my office for like an hour.
Yeah.
And get horrible sleep.
Yeah.
And my head is doing the
Yes.
It's just a giant weight hanging from a stem.
Yeah.
And my neck hurts. I'll get up and finally be like, fine. There have been very rare occasions where like, I got to go lay down, right? I got terrible sleep.
Yeah.
Like something happened last week. It was very bad news. And my grandmother passed away, and I found out at like 2 a.m.
Right.
And then I needed to go up to Maine the next day. So I was like, I have to go lay down. And the next day, I desperately wanted to get a little bit of sleep.
Right.
And I said, I'm gonna try. But if like that passing out in my chair in my office, if I go, this is bad, I'm gonna do this for an hour and get poor sleep, I should go lay down. The second I go lay down in a bed,
you're wide awake.
Yep. I'm wide awake. Like, what are we doing here? And it's so terrible.
It's tough.
Yeah. But you ever want to get in one of those chambers?
Oh yeah.
What do they call a hyperbaric chamber? No.
Yeah, hyperbaric chamber.
I think of it as
the
like
water.
What's it called?
Like
hypersalinated
sensory deprivation tank.
It's like hypersalinated.
Hypersalinated water.
And you float.
I would love to do that. I thought Chuck wouldn't want to do that because of claustrophobia.
I know that's tough.
And but so I think it would help him go in his mind. Fucking the cell style.
Yeah, it will.
And I think he goes in there and it's just repeatedly
Chuck has said, I can't be alone with my own thoughts.
Yeah.
And so the idea of going in a sensory deprivation tank to me sounds like it would torture Chuck.
Well, when I go to sleep, I mean, here's how I sleep. Like if it's perfect, I sleep with foam earplugs in, eye mask on, air conditioner on, noise machine. And I take my THC edibles, and I do feel like I'm in a separate. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm in another universe.
Double check for peas under the mattress.
it's amazing. I love it, and it feels like that. Though
I've always wanted to go in one of those chambers.
Me too. We should do it for the podcast.
Let's do one in it.
Like a big one.
Yeah, we're all three in there. It looks like Minority Report.
We're all just in our heads are together,
right? And a red ball comes out. What is that? It just says Santa eating ass.
Let's get him.
Yeah,
we gotta arrest him. This is immoral.
He's going to do it. He hasn't done it yet, but he will eat ass. Oh, you can't arrest me yet, fucker. And he's running away.
What is he doing to me?
But no,
I do think
it's interesting. I would like to try it. But there's also a part of me that's like, but if I fall asleep during that, am I wasting the pod time?
I know. I have to check into the pricing. I don't know the pricing yet.
I looked into it as a Christmas gift for Chuck.
I would love that.
I feel like you go in, and it's being John Malkovich, but it's all Chuck's. And Chuck's in there, and he looks around, and everybody's like, Chuck Staten, right, like that. And instead of being like, this is horrifying, he goes, this is fucking great.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. The respect that
they
I deserve.
Get me.
It is
the attention.
Everybody's eating each other's ass.
A very niche reference. This is for like three people. I'm one of them. It is Zaphod Beeblebrox going out the window instead of the door in that Hitchhiker's Guide scene. Chuck doesn't get it.
I know it, yeah.
Ray gets it. A viewer listener will get it. That's the three.
We did a video a long time ago when we were doing the Senior Discount videos and Brad was a character.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And one video, we made his gimmick that he keeps making wicked obscure references that nobody gets. And someone says to him at one point, like, are you sure you want to do this? And he goes, does the Toxic Avenger use a weapon? Use a mop as a weapon? And they go, I think so. And it was all stuff like that. Yeah,
that's fun.
That was great.
I'll say this. I think the Shirley Jackson one is going to go over better than the Zaphod Beeblebrox one. Sure. But
so,
I think
so
they're both accurate.
I don't think we have enough time for another email,
okay.
But I do think we have enough time for this to kind of wrap things up.
Okay. Yeah.
We've established what Chuck's being Chuck State in mind is.
We've established Santa Claus.
I think Brad's being Brad Roar thing. You go through the little tunnel and you come out, and it is a room that looks like this, but there's no art on the walls. It's one folding chair. There's a Brad sitting in that chair, and he goes, "Don't leave." And that's
and then I immediately turn and leave.
You're like, "I'm out of here." That guy had weird vibes. I'm gone.
What's being Ray Harrington?
I don't know what being Ray Harrington is.
I thought the Brad one was going to be like he goes into the world of Care Bears, but 100% of them are Grumpy Bear. With the little rain cloud.
There's some bedtime bears in there as well.
Maybe
they're all fair bears.
What is his name? I just drew a blank on his name. The donkey from Winnie the Pooh.
Shrek. Oh.
Eeyore.
Thank you. Eeyore's there. Grumpy's there. The Grinch is definitely there.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Grinch is there. You know what I think is interesting about you?
The Grinch is his ghost of Christmas future.
I feel like with Brad, if you take the Grinch and his adorable little dog, Max.
Yes.
If you make Max the big one and the Grinch the little one, that's Brad Roar.
Oh, I thought that was Chuck and Brad. Max Grinch.
That's great.
Are you okay?
That's funny. It just caught me off guard.
I don't know what mine is. I don't know what happens when they climb through the tunnel into my head.
You go through and you just see the back of a red coat, white hair spilling down someone's back.
I think it shoots you. It shoots you back to the candy store, stealing the candy.
Yeah, I don't know what my weird my palace is. If they were all me, here's the problem. I think all those me's. There's self-loathing.
I was
going to
say
there.
They're all naked and kind of hiding the stuff from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. No nudity. I don't think they want that.
That's exactly what they're hiding.
It's just a line to the guillotine, and everyone's like, this is what's going to happen. Just a slow march.
I think there's a push and pull though, because there is. You know, I'm a stand-up comedian.
Well, you're also the
executioner. There has to be a twisted ego involved for me to even want to be a stand-up. Deep down, there has to be a thing in me going, well, what I think has value enough for people to want to pay to hear it.
Mm. You know what I mean? Think? I think you go in, and it's a million rays looking back at you, and you're like, this is fine, and they all turn, and it's my face on the back of their head, and you go, oh, no, the truth is here.
I think it's probably just a series of me's in a room all saying, like, well, this fucking guy doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Like that, just like a bunch of, and they're all doing it to each other.
They're
right?
all whispering about each other to each other.
I think they all are like, they talk to one Ray, and then they go to another Ray going, I think that guy hates me, right? And it's just all of them doing that.
You hear the echoes of that
through the hall. I think that guy hates me. It's everywhere,
You know what, mine may not have art on the walls. It does have a wall of monitors that are playing just different times in my life.
Different shames,
different guilts.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one and it's like flickering and it's a success, but it's got the horizontal roll going up.
It's you know what it is? It's Brad walking in the rain and a car drives by and splashes, but it doesn't hit him.
Yeah.
That's the one success.
Well, and then a different monitor shows like 3 seconds afterwards, I get struck by lightning.
I think it's you walking in the rain, getting splashed by the car, but then it goes to the car and it's you poking your head out going, like at yourself. And I think in Chuck's mind, all the fun is happening in there, all the craziness, and he's really excited about it. And then there's one, like the Flash, the movie, mm-hmm. the terrible Flash movie, where the bad Flash shows up in the weird Speed Force globe.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's a Chuck in there that's that. And they're all afraid of that Chuck.
I don't think they're afraid of that Chuck. I think they're worshiping that Chuck.
They're carrying him on the thing with the throne.
Oh, they're totally neutral to that Chuck that comes in and grabs one occasionally.
Right.
And takes them away. Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, that's just, you know, that's just the bad bad Chuck.
That's
it's
what
the
we
bad
need
Chuck
to do.
That's in there.
It's it's like the sacrifice thing. Yeah. People are just like
cabin in the woods situation.
Like, yeah. And then sometimes he comes in, he doesn't even get us. He doesn't even take one of us away. He just comes in and goes, you know, that underage girl was pretty attractive. And then leaves. <You know? laughs> Or comes in to be like, how far can you go with a platonic friend? And then Santa shows up and he's like, really, good question. How far can you go?
That's a perfect way to end this episode.
Are we going
to
name it Santa Eats Ass?
I genuinely like
we
this
are not.
Idea. What
we
if
are...
Santa, who's a wholesome guy, who
By
delivers
way,
presents to children...
Wholesome.
But listen, on Boxing Day, the day for our Canadian listeners, the day after Christmas, he goes back to the North Pole and he's like, I just did all my work. And he gets Mrs. Claus and he's like, you know what time it is.
I think
and
he doesn't
just sprinkles some gingerbread cookie crumbs in there.
I think he doesn't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
That's all he wants, actually.
All I want to do, all I think about the whole year is just the day after Christmas when I get my ass eaten out. It's beautiful. Why do you think Rudolph has such a red nose? He's rubbed it raw.
Gross. Thank you all for joining
Stuff
us.
Stuff my stocking.
For contributing, for leading to this, for contributing emails, funbearablepod@gmail.com,
yes.
Or the email link
yeah, thank you,
at
sincerely.
funbearablepod.com, yes, or on socials at funbearablepod. Mm-hmm. Wow, a whole year. It's a long time.
It's been,
wow.
Yeah, it's a year. It's a lot of stuff. I mean... Like I said, we had plans that maybe will come to fruition in the future. Really fun idea for a live show.
Yeah.
We appreciate everyone being here. You know, we
had Bob Barker lined up as our big special anniversary guest.
How many environments have we recorded in the past year?
How many have we ruined? We're like the Exxon Valdez.
We're at 100% ruination.
Yeah, yeah.
Chuck's house is
yeah,
on
we
fire.
Really do. We have
the connection closed down for a while.
That's true, yeah.
We've been in a... I mean, yeah, we have.
Best
yeah.
video.
A lot of places.
Yeah, and we want to go back to many.
Gotham
Some
Hot
we're not
studio.
Allowed to.
Right.
Steve Dave.
Sometimes right. we don't want to go back, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We've talked about doing some other places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get there. One of these days, what I suggested is, you know how sometimes people have brain surgery, but they're still awake?
Yes. Mm.
I thought if we could get surgeons that would do it just for a fun goof.
For a goof, yeah. Right, yeah.
And then during the episode, like they poke
poking.
Different parts.
And see what we say.
Yeah,
or do
yeah.
Like come on.
Yeah, do a lot of that,
that
stuff.
That would be
fun. That would be fun and funny.
Yeah.
And good.
That's a fifth... anniversary kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
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 That's when we covered the history.
Which one is the brain which one is the brain surgery anniversary? That's after wood but before
that's
paper.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Thank you all so much for listening and or watching. For Ray Harrington and Chuck Staton, I'm Brad Rohr saying thank you so much and we're sorry for being fun bearable.
All right, we got to get the dodgeball game started in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Those kids are at the door. They yeah. are.
And I still think it's fucked up. Chuck said we split them up in groups, and he took all of the handicapped children and put them on one team.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then said the captain of the other team.
Yeah, he said it's because those wheelchair kids have cannons for arms.
They do. It's like Daredevil. Yeah. You lose one. One is stronger.
Toom. We just catch it. Whoa.
No.
Get up, Matt.